very excited to have Brittany Arneson joining us today.
Side note, I don't technically work here, so can I win those Journey tickets?
It's an interesting question. I think the answer is yes.
I'm going to spend the rest of the show studying the rules on WCCRadio.com, and I'll try to get an answer
thank
for
you.
It.
Can you. Thank you. Can
you consult an attorney or two?
Good to know.
Yeah, isn't that cool? Look, I saw a story. A Florida third grader is being called a hero for possibly preventing a school shooting after he reported a classmate. Again, third grade. And I guess one of his classmates brought a loaded gun to school.
Oh.
8-year-old Blake Johnson was in the boys' bathroom at Hudson Elementary School in Hudson, Florida. Another student showed him a loaded 9mm pistol that he pulled out of his backpack. He pulled it out, pointed it at the wall, and he said, "If you tell, I'm going to kill you."
Oh, my God.
This little third grader waited for the other students to leave. He informed the security guard. He said, "I told the security officer that kid had a gun, and then I told him which backpack and the kid." When the backpack was searched, they found the 9mm Sig Sauer handgun, which was loaded. The student who brought the handgun to school faces criminal charges and will be at least suspended for 10 days. They're calling the kid a hero. He did the right thing.
That's amazing. I mean, an 8-year-old going against what their friend, I mean, that's
right.
Such a fear, you know, that it's so rare that if somebody threatens another kid, I mean, their big thing is bullies and all that stuff. It's crazy to think an 8-year-old or a 9-year-old said, "I'm going to go tell, you know, the grown-ups." That's amazing. They are a hero. That's amazing.
Yeah, he did the right thing. He had the presence of mind for a third grader to step up and do that. And again, look, your experience, you served.
Yes.
You were a medic in Kuwait.
Yes.
And Iraq. And we talked about this story. We talked about this hero, this little third grader. And you said something that intrigued me. You said you have no interest in carrying a firearm around.
Yeah, I have such respect for guns. And even calling it a gun is odd because in the military we call it either a weapon or a rifle or whatever specifically it is, because guns are kind of more in the mindset of a toy. I have such high regard for them. I slept with an M4 for almost a year because you just have security on it all the time. So you wrap, you know, it around your arm to make sure it's with you.
You say you sleep with
anybody in the military has slept with their rifle. That's just a fact. You sleep with your rifle all the time. I mean, all the time. Just because, I mean, talk about a vulnerable situation. We lived in tents. You can't have your rifle sitting somewhere. So you just, you know, put it in a way that it's almost a security. You just touch it all the time because you're trained for a good year of your first year, you know, with basic training and AIT or boot camp is what people call it, to always have hands on, eyes on your weapon. And it's such a big deal, such a big responsibility that on the civilian side, I just don't know if everybody really gets that. And I don't mean to, even personally on the civilian side, I mean, I left my jacket somewhere in this building. I have no idea where I left it. I left a scarf somewhere else. I just don't want to have that responsibility of also having a weapon on me at all times. And I have it in high regard. I'm not scared of guns. I enjoy shooting. I enjoy cleaning and taking them apart and putting them back together. But I have no interest in carrying one in my day-to-day life.
Interesting.
And I don't know how many times. I know there's a big thing going on with, you know, people not wanting to bring it was Cub saying that they don't want them to be having conceal and carry or carrier. Mm-hmm. And I have to, you know, I like numbers. I like seeing trends, and I like seeing how many times at a grocery store has somebody having a gun saved lives. I would like to see that. And if I can see those big numbers, then I guess I would say, okay, then that makes sense. But I have yet to see those moments where I'm buying grapes. I see somebody who has a gun holstered or, you know, on their body, and I think, thank God. Yeah, but that's just how I feel about it.
Well, it's a personal decision,
yeah.
Right? And you feel strongly about that, and I respect that.
And we have guns at the house. We have them locked up. You know, that's my husband's really into hunting. And again, I love I love a lot of that stuff, but yeah, just not day to day. I just don't need it.
It's not for everyone.
No, it's not.
It shouldn't be for everyone.
It doesn't go with my outfit most of the time, too. So there's that.
Hard to conceal sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Couple of other stories. It's been a bad year for farming, and we know that in Minnesota and across much of the country. Steve Bowen is a meteorologist, head of Catastrophe Insight. Interesting title at Aon Insurance. And he tweeted something out. He said that flood and moisture-related crop insurance payouts this year are close to $5 billion across the nation and still going up. 2019 has already seen the most flood-related payouts for USDA on record of the program. This program dates back to the 1940s. They've never pumped out that much cash for farmers. One county in South Dakota, Hutchinson County, $62 million. Hardest hit in Minnesota, Lyon County, $29 million. Again, this is for flood and moisture-related crop insurance. 10 counties, all in far southwestern Minnesota, $10 to $25 million in payouts.
Wow.
And nearly every single county in western, central, and southern Minnesota has seen payouts between $1 and $10 million. So between the tariffs, chronically low prices to begin with, and then, the weather, good Lord.
Do you think most farmers, I mean, is that just a must-have, is that insurance? Or do you think there's a lot of farmers that try to go without having that?
I think it varies. I don't have a great answer to that.
Yeah.
I think many farmers, most farmers, have some level of insurance. But I understand more than ever. And this is just investing 101. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Diversify.
Yeah.
So when people say, well, hey, these wind farms are actually good for farming, for the ag community. It gives you another source of revenue that is not tied to the weather. So, one of many reasons why wind power and solar is taking off. And I'm happy because that can be a lifeline for some farmers that are right on the edge.
And they can rent their house on Airbnb and then Uber as well, and they're set.
And you got a grandma in Williston, right?
I have a grandma in Williston. Yes, she has got a bunch of land in Williston. They don't really farm anything right now.
They're farming oil, aren't they?
That's their big deal. So if you ever visit my dear grandma in Williston, she'll drive you to each oil field, and we get to look at them. And, I mean, it is a lovely aspect. My grandma likes to inform me. Last time I was there, she said, someday your children will someday benefit from this. And I had to stop her and be like, Grandma, what do I get? Like, she's like, I just feel like your children are going to. I was like, what the? Get cut out of that line.
Yeah, just kind of hopped right over you.
No, absolutely. So, yeah, my grandma, there's no, they're not so worried about the farming. But, yeah, they've got, and it's really fun. They vote on what to name them. It's all very quaint.
That interaction has very little to do with the oil and the money. It has everything to do with your grandma reminding you to have kids. That's what's happening.
I think you're right. Yeah, that's probably it. Oh, she just, what? Yeah.
It's subtle,
what
but they grandmas get that in there.
You think like they'll withhold cookies, but my grandma's straight up withholding oil money. What the?
We should get her on the line.
Savage.
We should call her on that. Okay, so you got one day, you got friends coming in from out of town, and you got one day to show them the best of the Twin Cities. What would you tee up? I'm at a loss. I've got a few ideas. I teed this up on Twitter. We find out from you. Text us if you can, and we'd like to hear more from you on what you would do if you had friends coming in. That's coming up next on CCO.
Paul and Jordana.
Jor has the day off today. She's back next week. Joining us, Sergeant Brittany Arneson. Actually, it was what? Your maiden name was Hagen?
Yeah, I was Sergeant Hagen. I was often Sergeant Hag, which worked out really well. I applied to how I lived my life. So
Sarge. I like
Sergeant.
That. Sarge is a good nickname.
But there's so many sergeants there. You can't have that nickname.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. So I've got friends coming in late next week.
Mm-hmm.
For the Penn State Gopher football game. They live in Pittsburgh. They've never been out here. I think they're scared of Minnesota. But we talked them into coming out, and we've got one day, next Friday, a week from today, And we want to cram as much in and give them an overview.
Yeah.
Give them the vibe of Minneapolis-St. Paul. Do you have any suggestions? Anything that comes to mind?
I actually asked an Army friend who lives in Pittsburgh. I said, what would you want to do if you came here?
Right.
And he said he wanted to go to a Steelers bar, and he was almost mortified that he felt that way. Sandwiches that don't have fries and coleslaw in them. I guess that's a thing there.
It's a thing in Pittsburgh. Yeah.
You know, they had that big incident with the bus that got stuck in the pothole.
The sinkhole, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he said roads that don't eat buses would be nice to visit.
Well, can't help you there.
Right. And then Minnesota Twins, because a baseball team that plays in October is unheard of in Pittsburgh. So.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, but I say, you said it's a couple, right?
It's like a couple.
30 to 40-year-old couple. We're not sure on the age. I would say I like shopping in North Loop. That's always fun.
Okay.
Like Denolo, Grethen House, things like that. Just things that are, like, unique to us. And then take them to a Red Lobster. Or wait.
Well, I mean, yeah, we could do Red Lobster, but there's so many other amazing restaurants.
That's not my in-laws whenever they come into
Red
town.
Red Lobster?
Red Lobster, because it's unique to Minnesota.
You know,
I'm not mad at it.
There's a time and place for Applebee's and Red Lobster and all of them.
You threw it out on your Twitter, right? Yeah. And you're in your social media. What were some of the ideas? You have some good ideas. They had better ideas than me.
Look, there are no bad ideas, as I said on Twitter. Mall of America, that may be a bad idea. I'm not sure. I don't know if I have the energy. Corey Heppola said, show them TCF Bank Stadium, the site where my Gophers are going to beat your Nittany Lions next Saturday.
Oh, Heppola.
Sounds a little bitter.
Yeah.
Stone Arch Bridge,
yes.
Como Park Zoo and Conservatory, a lot of people recommending the Walker Art Center, the Sculpture Garden, of course, the Spoon, yeah. Minnehaha Falls.
Yes.
I like this one. Minnehaha Falls, view of the river from the Guthrie.
Yes.
And then walk through the Gold Medal Park to get Izzy's ice cream, take a train to Union Depot in St. Paul, eat more food at Keg and Case. That sounds good.
Yeah, that sounds good for all of us every day.
Mill City Museum.
Yes.
Wabasha Caves Gangster Tour. I have never done that. I need to do that. The Landscape Arboretum. We may take them to the Landscape Arboretum, which is incredible. Cathedral Hill, Keys Cafe, Yes and Yes, Como Zoo, a Juicy Lucy at the Blue Door in St. Paul.
I mean,
that sounds good.
That sounds good. I also think you should take them to Bradshaw and Bryant and John Schuster and just lean into what pays the bills.
Take them to visit our advertisers?
Yep. Because I want to be invited back here. So I am a ride or die.
Oh, wow.
Michael Bryant,
it's a very corporate thing to say.
What can I say? Yeah. I'm selling out officially.
And I'm sure they're lovely people. But
I think take them there.
I got 10 hours. I don't think I'm going to be doing that. DJ, do you have any suggestions?
Yeah, well, so my wife and I have a number of family members from out of town that have come to town and have done a day like this. So what we often do is we take folks to Minnehaha Falls, which has been mentioned before. And then we do like the downtown thing, a combo of the Guthrie Overlook, the Stone Arch Bridge, and the Skyway system downtown here. I think
they'd be intrigued with the Skyways.
It's everyday stuff for you and I, but it's kind of a cool thing to see.
But I'll still get lost. I'll embarrass myself. I'll have to ask people.
That's hard to avoid. And then you said three things, but I'm going to sneak in an extra. My third is to get a Juicy Lucy, and my preference would be at the Nook in St. Paul.
The Nook.
And if you triangulate the three locations I've said so far, you'll end up driving along the river in Minneapolis if you choose the right way. So that's kind of a bonus.
See the falls.
My final thing, which is very, very important, is to not go to the Mall of America. It's very, very important with entertaining guests.
That just sucks
it's
up the
total,
6 hours.
Yeah, it's
right
a total
there.
Waste of time. It is not a reflection of Minnesota. It's a reflection of everything that's wrong with consumerism in the world. So let's not go there.
Oh, snap. Wow. Snap. I just want to say I'm very pro Mall of America.
Me too. I like to go there
and get lost, and then I go to the Skyways and get lost. But look, I don't think this is a Mall of America visit.
Yeah.
There will be another time for that. But I appreciate everybody weighing in, and we'll try this again at 5:20. Keep those suggestions coming.
We did have one caller that said take him to Stillwater.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. Out of town and take him to Stillwater. So yeah. I think that was a good tip as well.
It's kind of a little bit of an extra. I mean, that's going to be.
God, you can't do anything in one day. So
no.
It's mission impossible. But these are good suggestions. So thank you. When we come back, Brittany and I will go way beyond the headlines.
Paul and Jordana. Beyond the headlines.
Okay. Ladies first.
Oh, nice. I get to start? Okay.
You get to start.
Oh, first go at Beyond the Headlines. You got this, Brittany.
Okay. Big day for you. Huh?
All right. So Sydney Wolfe headed to a costume party, right?
Okay.
She was wearing, from the 1976 movie Carrie, she was dressed as Carrie. Hits a deer, gets into an accident where it looked rough on the car kind of got smashed in, but she didn't get that hurt. Here's the problem. She was Carrie post pig blood, post, massacre in the whole.
I remember Carrie.
Yes.
Yeah, it was bloody.
Blood-drenched, some would even say.
Yeah.
So as the first responders came upon her, they all just started freaking out. And she kept trying to calm down, saying, I swear it's just part of my costume. And it was just one of those things where, double time. I mean, to walk up to an accident and she's just drenched in blood. Yeah.
Ouch.
But she was fine. She was fine.
She's fine.
Yeah.
But she messed with the first responders.
Yeah, she was trying to, she even was said right when they were getting there, she thought to herself, this isn't going to be good. Like, they're going to freak out. And she, yeah.
God, the stuff they must see, the first responders. Tremendous respect for them. Okay. Do you have an Hermes? Is that how you say it?
Hermes? Yeah.
Do you have one of those handbags?
Look at me. I work in radio. I do not have an Hermes bag. Nope.
Well, this is bizarre, and I've never heard of this before, but a New Jersey woman said her luxury handbag was ruined when a waiter at a Bergen County country club spilled red wine all over it. She's suing this country club for $30,000.
What?
Yeah,
no.
The waiter apparently spilled wine all over her and her handbag. They identify the server as John Doe, quote, acted in a negligent manner. The club is liable for my destroyed bag.
Question. So if you're rocking something this expensive, aren't you kind of just taking the chance that this is going to go down? I mean, you look like a guy who enjoys the finer things in life. Have you accepted the amount of risk that comes with rocking your Gucci, your Fendi, your Hermes?
I wouldn't in a million years take that stuff or wear anything that expensive.
Nothing that would be $30,000?
No. My God, no. I guess it was a light pink purse, and it had sentimental value for this woman. It was a gift from her husband on her 30th birthday.
Oh, then it's totally worth $30,000. I mean, it might be actually that price. Those purses are so expensive, but I can't relate to that story.
No, I know. It's like Greek. The bag was discontinued by the high-end French fashion brand. Now has large stains. Well, maybe it'll be worth more now with the red wine stains.
Yeah, and the story. It's got cred. Okay. How do you feel? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, you got to wait for the swoosh.
This is my first day. Sorry, Mom.
Yeah, you're doing great.
Okay. How do you feel about Christmas music?
You know, we have Christmas music going at home. It's kind of our Muzak. It's in the background.
Yeah. And how do you feel about it for 54 days, starting today till Christmas?
I know it makes a lot of people crazy.
Starting today?
Yeah.
I mean, crazy. But you don't think it's okay to start it before even Thanksgiving happens, do you? I don't know who I'm dealing with.
We've had it on for a couple of weeks now.
What is wrong with you?
Well, you don't have enough time. where do I begin? But look, I mentioned this to George. Jordana had a similar reaction.
Yeah.
Like, you moron, why would you do that?
Yeah.
It's getting dark.
Yeah.
It's getting cold. We all have coping mechanisms. One of our coping mechanisms is putting up a tree. And the twinkling lights, it just makes us happy.
So I just get a little confused. The catalog for Christmas music is not that extensive. So you're listening to the same 20 songs?
Yes, some are better. I've heard some really bad streams. I've heard some really good streams that have more variety.
But
your point is well taken. Yeah.
You guys are slowly going crazy.
I think we are. Yeah, thank you.
Oh, but the point of the story is two stations in Detroit have your same mindset. They've decided the day after Halloween, game on, bring on the jingle bells.
Right.
Yeah. So and
there's so much that causes stress these days.
Yeah.
So much anxiety. if it makes you happy.
No, it's not unacceptable.
Nobody's getting hurt.
Nope.
Really? Wow.
Unacceptable. If I hear Jingle Bells, if you play it today, I'll lose my mind.
Okay, Grinch. Okay. All right. You have the freedom not to play Christmas music.
Thank
right?
you.
And you have the freedom to be totally wrong, Paul Douglas.
Thank you.
You
thank
are on the
you.
Wrong side of history.
You will be. You will be.
Really?
Yes. You will be.
Wow. I mean, the debate here should be, is it okay on Black Friday or do you need to wait till December?
Yes.
That is the acceptable That's, debate we should
I
be
I didn't even know
here.
This was a like a conversation people were having. It's November 1st. Come
it's,
on.
It's in my house. I'm not piping this music all throughout the Twin Cities. It's in our house. And
just,
if we want to listen to Christmas tunes... You know, along with little Ozzy Osbourne and, you know, it interspersed.
Yeah. Yeah, you're free to do terrible
if it makes
things
us,
in your house.
It's not how is that a terrible thing? How is that? Oh, God, I don't understand you. All right. Speaking of not understanding a woman, and this is tragic, but it's also a cautionary tale. You have three dogs and a cat.
Yes.
Okay. Stick with dogs and cats. Pythons should be off limits. A woman was found dead with a python around her neck in a house full of 140 snakes.
How do you live your life with one snake in your house? I'm sorry. That's another thing I know people feel strongly about. What do you do with a snake? Like I
don't get it. Can you teach them to do tricks?
Do you have any proof that they have affection towards you? Is there any proof ever that a snake is like, I like you? Is there anything that's gonna...
I've never seen that.
Yeah.
I've never seen
How
that.
Many snakes in all?
140.
Where?
Because what, a dozen isn't enough? This is a woman in Indiana, and she was found with an 8-foot python hanging around her neck. She appears to have been strangled by the snake, according to the Indiana State Police. No kidding. While captive pythons tend to be less aggressive than their wild counterparts, attacks are not all that uncommon. One study found at least 16 people in the U.S., Brittany, have been killed by pythons between 78 and 2009. Their sheer size can prove challenging for many owners.
Yeah.
Reticulated pythons can weigh up to 350 pounds and be 20 feet long. And the author of this story wanted to share this fact. He found it disturbing. So did I. Listen to this.
Yeah. I'm
pythons,
scared.
The big ones,
yeah.
usually strangle their prey, but there have been a few rare cases of wild pythons swallowing grown men and women whole.
I can't even let my brain go down that avenue.
My top 10 ways to go, that would not be, no.
I bet you anything, though, so many people in her neighborhood won so many bets when they're like, that lady died from being eaten by a snake or being strangled by a snake. And they said, of course she did. Like, is there any other way that lady was going to go? That's the way that lady chose. Like, she's going to death by snakes.
But isn't, I mean, aren't you kind of asking for it?
I think so.
If you got 140 snakes, do you have a death wish?
I mean, I think that's what we're dealing with, is that this is the way this lady's going. Like, any other way, like heart failure, nope. This lady has death by snakes written all over.
She died doing what she loved, being strangled by snakes. I don't get that, but okay.
I have a lovely story. This is about a photographer in Syria who was around during one of the strikes, bombings went down, and he heard a little crying noise in the corner, and a tiny dust-covered puppy was next to the body of his mother.
Oh.
But he ended up taking this puppy with him on his motorcycle, this guy, he lives in Syria. And he's been able to, the dog's name is Bobby, which is adorable. And he rode with the motorcycle and the puppy and has raised this dog. And I just can't even get over how cute this little Bobby is. And they're doing Aww. Great. And yeah, it's just a great, great story that came out of it.
That's
little
amazing.
Bobby, I know.
We need some good news.
Yes.
Do you curse a lot?
Yes.
Yeah? You
yes.
really?
I love a good swear.
Like a sailor? Poor sailors. What
I'd say more like
do?
An army person.
Like an army person, yeah. You can apparently get a better workout by dropping the F-bomb and other words we can't say on the air. Studies show people on bikes who swear while pedaling
yeah.
against resistance had more power and strength than people who used neutral words.
I've believe that. Isn't there a power to that? Any of those words? They're so strong sounding. They'll get you to pedal through.
There's something primal about it. According to experts, when you're swearing, you're triggering an emotional response in yourself, which triggers a mild stress response, which carries with it a stress-induced reduction in pain. What makes the use of naughty words so powerful? Well, the taboo. The reality is universally recognized, Brittany. Just about every language on the planet has curse words, which, by the way, lose their power over pain if they're used too much. The headline message is that swearing helps you cope with pain.
I believe that. I have a nanny family, and the little girl, the only time I've ever sworn in front of her was when the chain fell off my bike, and I went ahead and crotched myself, because why wouldn't I? And I said one of the big ones.
Ow.
And I said, "I'm so sorry, Brookie." And she goes, "No, that was appropriate." She gave me the pass on that, so I was very appreciative
of
that.
You crotched yourself.
Yes.
I've not heard that used as a verb. Okay.
Yeah.
I learned something.
You're welcome.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the whole swearing thing, it might make for a better workout for you. It probably won't be a better workout for the people you're working out with.
Yeah. Right? That you're surrounded with. Yeah, that might be a problem.
Calling 911. Mike Max is coming up here in a couple of minutes. Jordana is off today. She will be back next week. The charming Brittany Arneson.
Been called a lot of things, Paul Douglas.
Charming?
Never charming.
Oh, you're charming.
Yeah.
You're effervescent.
Oh, you.
You're buzzing. Anyway, I'll quit while I'm
No,
behind.
Don't stop. Why would you stop?
No, you're a breath of fresh air. It's good to have you with us.
Ah, it's nice. Thank
Joining
you.
Us is Birthday Boy.
Woo!
Mike Max.
I don't have one yet. Uh-uh.
Tomorrow, dude.
Yeah. But Brittany, I was with Paul yesterday, Jordana the day before.
Yeah.
And then he says, "Your breath of fresh air." How do you think that makes us feel?
That's what I was just going to say. How dare he? I was
Choose
just
your
about
words
to stand
carefully,
up for you.
Dr. Douglas.
And when he said he was going to celebrate your birthday today, I said, you know what? It's tomorrow.
I've celebrated a birthday in 35 years.
How dare you, Paul Douglas?
Mike, I'm going to get you the same thing I got you last year.
Thank you.
Nothing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ron Shearer always gives me that his calendar, you know? And obviously there's just the 2 months left, so it doesn't do me a lot of good.
A gently used calendar?
Well, yes, the one
oh
that didn't
my God.
Sell.
Oh, that's nasty.
How are you guys today? Staying warm?
Yeah.
Yeah, this isn't so bad. You know, I'll start to whine a little when it gets below zero, but 30s? No.
That really? Feels good to me.
Yeah.
I said to Mike Zimmer, we were walking off the field today, and I was at the Vikings practice. And Fridays are always a great day to be at the Vikings because everybody's in a good mood by Friday. If you won the week before, you're in a good mood. If you lost, you forgot about it,
right.
You moved on, and your work is done. Your body work is done now, and you're just waiting to play a game, basically. We just happened to be walking off the field together and, you know, making chit-chat, and I said, you know, we should really be duck hunting. And he said, yeah, we should, because it's that kind of day. It's made for duck hunting today, you know?
Oh, yeah, because they fly low, right, when
well,
it's gray
you
like
get
this?
A wind, too. You want a wind from the north, northwest, because that means they're blowing from Winnipeg. They're coming down through the migration. And then if you get the clouds, that should keep them a little bit lower.
Right.
Although, you know, and this is a great mystery of duck hunting, but Joe Berglov, a guy that you know.
I do.
Well, Paul, and works over here. We go every year to North Dakota in the last 2 years. For whatever reason, you're always supposed to hunt with the wind to your back. And then the ducks, when they land or decoy into you, they decoy right into the wind, which is a good shot. For whatever reason, we found throw them out right into the wind. It made absolutely no sense. And we shot ducks for 2 straight days. And it had nothing to do with any of the rules of hunting. So
the like rules
weather,
are changing.
Like weather, there's just things that you can't predict.
Yeah, amen to that.
Yep. So Adam Thielen's questionable for Sunday.
Ah.
They didn't say take it as far as a game time decision, but they may want to at least see what the conditions are like on the field on Sunday. Patrick Mahomes is still questionable for Kansas City, although he has practice some this week. So those are the two kind of biggest questions in terms of injuries out there. I think the Vikings will play really well on Sunday. They've had a week and a half off. They're except for Thielen, they're really healthy. I just feel like they've got their swagger and their confidence, their mojo right now.
Don't mean to ambush you, but I will. Somebody mentioned that the Vikes have not won in Kansas City since the 70s? Is that possible?
See, this stuff's always misleading. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but you only play Kansas City every 4 or 5 years.
True.
And then it might be in your place, you know, a couple of times. And so the question is, how many straight times is it that they've gone to Kansas City and lost? They just have hardly ever played there. So I remember them playing there, and now I don't even remember the results, but that's a good question. I have to look that up.
Yeah. All right. So Cat and Joel Embiid both suspended for
two games.
Only two games.
So Cat,
you were right. You predicted that. You said it would be a short suspension.
Yep. And so he'll miss tomorrow against Washington. But then, and just as important as Monday, the Milwaukee Bucks come in here with the Greek Freak, and they're a great team. And, you know, even the potential for a little rivalry there, because they've never had one with the border battle with Wisconsin. But they'll be a target center on Monday. So these are two games that they could really use the Big Cat in. These are not easy games. So we may find out a little bit more about the character of this team over the next two. They'll have a tough time. He is such a focal point of their offense. It's hard to do things when you're running your offense through him and to shift on the fly and be able to just make plays.
Right.
And I got to give a shout out, just because I want a death grip, to WCCO Hire having me back. They're pre-gaming the Wolves playing Washington tomorrow. The pregame is at 6:30 right here on WCCO. Mike, what are you feeling
well
for the
done.
Wolves?
Well done.
Yeah, they'll be okay tomorrow night. But yeah, like I said, without the Cat, who knows? Here, you want another interesting little stat?
Please.
Yeah.
So I'm out at the Vikings stand. I said, I'm going to ask these guys, in the spirit of it, it's being high school football night, big high school football night. So I randomly picked three different Vikings to ask them how far they went in the high school football playoffs, assuming, you know, great players probably played state championship teams. Not one of them. One didn't make the playoffs, and two got beaten the first round.
Wow.
Isn't that something? You just assume.
Yeah.
Right? Great players, great teams. You know, that was probably easy for them, you know? Xavier Rhodes said, they shut me down, man. They figured out a way to shut me down. I was playing running back then.
What else is coming up on your show, Maxie?
Well, we're going to talk some high school football tonight, but I'm also going to visit with Lee Hutton. He used to play for the Gophers. He's an attorney. His son's a high school football player. About this pay-to-play at the college level, because he's been heavily involved with a lot of athletes over the years, and how this could really change the landscape, obviously, of it. I'm going to try to get hold of Dave Wright. He's a longtime fixture in St. Paul, and he does the PA for state tournament games. He also has been the PR man for Hamline University the Athletics, and he's retiring. And he's kind of a local legend to those of us that work the beats. And yesterday was his last day, the end of October, so I'm going to try to get him on to reflect a little bit.
Very
then we're going
cool.
to talk some hunting with Ryan Souter and Graham Gresseth and all kinds of fun stuff.
Hey, Sports Betting Dime says that the Twins only have a 35-1 chance of winning the World Series next year.
Well,
13th among all teams. They are getting zero respect in spite of the run they had this year.
Yeah, and that, you know, tell me who the starting pitching, what the starting pitching rotation is, and I'll tell you what their chances are, because
right.
they've got everything else. They've got the hitters. They're good enough that way. But, you know, when you look at Washington and Houston, you'd take their two number three pitchers, and they'd be 1-2 for the Twins right now. So it's pretty easy. That's the good news. You get clarity. You know exactly. And Brittany, I don't think you'll disagree with me on this. You know exactly what they need to do different next year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
And, you know, I'm going to stop just so you know, they wanted to sing Happy Birthday, and I told them, Mike, I would not let them do
Thank
that.
You.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much, because I hate acknowledging it. I hate celebrating it. I don't celebrate anything except Christmas for the kids. You
I know. I noticed.
Is this is this a big one, Mike? Is it
no,
is
no,
it 30 or 40?
Yeah, it's well, that big 4-0 stares at you for a while, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Boy, I wish, man.
Do you even remember 40?
The one I remember was, I've had the only memorable thing about my birthday is, from time to time, it's fallen on elections, and sometimes you kind of remember, like the one election was the one I was at an election party. It was the night that Bush and Gore couldn't figure out who won.
Oh my God, was that the hanging chads?
Yeah, the hanging chads. You know, and I just remember that so vividly because it was birthday and out there, and you know what, and it's like midnight, and I'm at this election party, the friend of mine, and nobody knows who won the election, you know?
That had nothing to do with Chad Hartman, right?
No, that's
different. Okay,
these are all the Florida ones.
Very confused for the longest time. Yeah. Mike, Max, happy birthday, my friend.
Appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
Yep. Brittany, good to visit with you.
Oh, thank you, Mike. You're the best. Yeah.
And when we come back, what's trending? The stuff that made us do a triple take. That's coming up next.
Paul and Jordana.